You're listening to the Everything Swallow podcast with Sean and Shayna Swallow.
This is my favorite song in the world. Right here, this is my favorite part.
I did not know I was being recorded. I was just sitting here. We were waiting for him to tell me we're live, and he's recording all of this. And now it's our intro.
Swallows are here. It's too good, right? It's just
make us feel comfortable.
It's fancy. The swallows are here.
I thought we were being cute doing this little thing. And then he's like, that's amazing.
The swallows are here.
Turkey.
Oh, that was fun.
That's pretty fun.
I'm glad you got to hear that for your first time.
I know.
Yeah. It's so great.
Well, I've listened to your podcast before.
Well, I know, but maybe you just missed it. It didn't sink in. All right. We have a very special guest with us this evening. Author.
That's exciting.
Yes.
I don't know. What other author, title do you like to go by? Author, writer, blogger. Inspirational speaker.
Trying.
Yes.
There you go. That's right. Go. Right here. Victoria McCune, right?
Yes.
Perfect. See, I stress about it all day to say it right.
Yeah, that's very
what I
good.
Do. Yeah. Pronounce right words wrong. Well, thanks for coming over.
Yeah.
And talking to us about your book.
Thanks. This is pretty exciting. Yeah, this is your first book?
It is.
It's called This Is Me Doing Life.
Yes. It's the same title as my online blog.
Okay.
Yep.
And where's your online blog?
So it's This Is Me Doing Life. I think it's .com. Okay. WordPress.com.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, very good. My journey of self-care and self-reflection. So, tell us about your book.
Yeah.
What made you want to write a book?
Yeah. How do you even start writing a book? You just woke up one day and were like, I'm going to write a book. Or was this something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it actually was. I had a lot of people for many years tell me, like, you have a story. You guys need to write a book. Like, being you guys, me and my mom.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work and being vulnerable to, like, put your whole life out there.
Yeah.
Right.
But we do. We have a crazy story to tell. And so this was years ago. I mean, for years, people have told us, you got to write a book. And I had actually stopped writing and, like, blogging back in high school.
Okay.
And I just let it go.
You wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so I had just let that part go. And then it wasn't till I graduated college in 2017 where I had all this free time again, and that it was through Beautifully Brave Community. It's an online Bible study
fun.
Community.
Okay.
And we did a story or some kind of Bible study ship, but it was called 100 Days to Brave, and so it was a journaling exercise, basically, and you were following the book 100 Days to Brave.
Right.
And so before I knew it, I was, like, really enjoying the process.
Yeah.
And it took me way longer than 100 days to get through it, and that's how the book kind of was born out of that. Yeah, that's some ideas started floating around, and I'm like, all right, the book can happen. Like,
it can happen.
Yeah, I can do this. And yes, there were still things going on in our personal life, and, you know, things that were still definitely not patched up, but why not write about it when you're in the midst of it?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and I think too, kind of when you do that, it's like you take some of the power away from all the craziness
right.
going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm owning it. I have all accountability for this.
For sure.
That's just the thing now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I've never done traditional therapy for any of, like, life trauma that mm-hmm. I've been through or anything like that. And this, writing the book out entirely and in a time frame manner.
Yeah. It was kind of like that, right?
It was healing.
I told my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It was super healing. I'd never expected it to be so healing.
Yeah.
And just being able to now relate to readers and, like, being able to, like, open up because of a chapter in my book, that's been super helpful. And
yeah.
I'm so thankful for it. I always think
it's amazing when people reach out to you and are like, oh my God, I can relate to this so much. I've been through this. I'm mm-hmm. going through this. And then you're just like, oh, it's so crazy, right? Because in the midst of all those trials and tribulations that's happening in your life, you totally feel alone.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'm just here all by myself.
Yep.
And then no one can relate to what you're going through and how difficult things are.
Yeah.
Or even some of the dark thoughts that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, yep. you know, you do the book and then you inspire people and enlighten mm-hmm. people. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So this book is a little book. Is it going to get bigger?
Mm-hmm. Sequel.
Yeah, right?
There is another book in the works, working with my publisher on that. I always think that I have this fancy title, like this book was not supposed to be called This Is Me Doing Life. It was going to be called She's Strong or Weight of Worth. I felt like I had all these fancy titles, and she's like, your readers know you by this. Like, we need to, like, kind of keep that going.
This is you. So you had this already established online?
Yes.
Okay.
So is your blog pretty popular?
It is. Okay. Yep. So in 2019...
I'm going to find it right now.
Yeah, in 2019, I had... over 5,000 viewers, and they're from all over the world. And that's how, if I needed a God sign mm-hmm. of that I needed to write a book, it was that, is that my words resonated with people all around the world. Mm-hmm. And I've never experienced something like that on such a scale. And they were commenting and like just interacting with me.
Yeah.
And because I'm a smaller author, I can interact back and right. keep up with it. And I have a good time with it. And so, yeah, so it's just all over the place. As far as my blog goes, I write about everything, things from mothering, things, you know, from sermons that I learn.
Things that just touch you.
Yep.
Stick with you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Different things that we're trying, you know, like workout program or...
So you have a successful, and it's a written blog?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you Google my name, actually, it comes up a little bit easier for okay. whatever reason.
I'm just trying stuff.
Yeah, you're all trying to find it.
Okay. Oh, look at there. That's look you right that, there.
Right there.
It's the first thing that came up. I Googled the name of the book. Yeah, this is me doing life.
That was my publisher's whole intention.
Yep. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Perfect.
Like, so this is your blog title. You do this every day?
So I try. It just depends. I kind of went through a slump of that. You know, I'm going through something. I don't know if I necessarily want to share it right there. Especially with we just moved and bought a farm and doing a bunch of work on that. And so I'm like, all right, get over yourself. Like,
and
just
you
start
have a
posting,
baby.
Post.
Yes.
So I'm getting better. My word for the year is consistent.
Right.
Ooh, I like that.
That's mine too. And finishing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
That's what I'm trying to do that this year. Yeah. Finish things well. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Very cool. Yep. So that's my word and my verse.
It's easy to read. It's very cool. You comment
right
there.
So you have your blog.
Yeah, there's a comment section.
And then
your comments. People like your stuff.
Yeah, and they a lot of them message me on Gmail too.
So this helped you find a publisher to write your book because you already had a pretty big following?
No, actually, that was a total God thing. Because what ended up happening is I had to go into Barnes & Noble one day mm-hmm. to grab another book, and there was a local. He wasn't local actually, but there was another author, and he was out there promoting his book. He was from out of state. He was a retired police officer, and so he wrote a memoir just about things that he went through and how he got through, you know, his time of getting injured and then having to retire. And what was supposed to be like a 10-minute trip into Barnes & Noble turned into a few hours
yeah.
with my son with me. And I always say that I need to send that guy a thank you. Like, I still have
for
his
the
card.
Encouragement.
Yeah.
Well, because he's the one that actually opened those doors to a publisher. He's a perfect stranger.
Oh.
And, you know, I was
he
researching.
He made a connection between you and...
Yep.
He
was a perfect stranger, and I had basically just dumped out a whole bunch of information to him, and he's like, let me pitch it to her and see what she says. And within days she reached out.
Yeah.
I had content, so that
wow.
was helpful.
Yeah.
You had something that she could look to immediately and send her right to the blog.
Yep. And then
really?
I wasn't necessarily wanting to write a memoir, and she my publisher Michelle was like, no, you have some great stuff, you have some great stories. Like,
wouldn't you already have a following of people knowing your stories and
yep.
your stuff?
Yep. So she's the one who encouraged me to basically like go back in time and think of everything you could think of, you know, that would be relatable or that
yeah.
you would want to share, and then let's see if we can make a memoir out of it. And then for a full book, you need about 50,000 to 60,000 words, which
snap.
To me, like, that's a high number. And so it was, how am I going to write that many words? And before I knew it, in a blog post, a single blog post now, I write about 1,000 words a blog post. So after 30 days of blogging, I had 30,000 words. Yeah. So give me another half a month and I had a book.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, very cool.
But you love to write too.
Yeah.
So then it's okay, yeah, sit down and write. Okay.
So real quick, where is the book available? If I want, people are asking where they can find it right now.
Yeah, so it's on anywhere books are sold. So Amazon.
Go right to Amazon.
That's actually the easiest place.
This is me doing life right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find it again on there.
Yeah, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I've done a few book signings at Barnes & Nobles. Locally here in Colorado. I haven't had the liberty to travel yet, just because I do have a baby.
But your book has only been out...
as long as Remy. It came out the same day Remy was born.
Right.
And who's Remy? Explain that to us.
Yeah, so Remy is my baby.
Baby? Little baby?
Little baby, 7 months. And then we have a 6-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, big gap.
Yeah, she was our, I say surprise baby, but I just need to stop saying that.
Yeah.
Because so many women like want that surprise, and I'm like, she was our surprise.
Yeah.
So I understand. I'm trying to get better at that, but she was our baby. Surprise.
That's right. That's okay. You can be a surprise.
Yeah. We wouldn't have it any other way now.
Well, it's even available on Kindle.
Yes, there's a Kindle version, and I don't control when Kindle, if you have a membership to Kindle, sometimes the book is available for free with your membership.
That's what it says right here.
Yep. I don't control when it does it, so I never know. I'm like, just keep an eye on it.
Yeah. It changes.
Very cool,
probably.
It's right. All I did, I literally Googled the name of the book, This Is Me Doing Life, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Popped right up. Yep. Publicist or your marketing guy did that too, Ben.
You hope so.
Yeah,
hope so.
That's great. You know what I mean? That means people are interested in what you're doing, and what you're doing is changing and helping people, and that's all we can hope to do in life, right?
Right.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, only we're doing it in a more, you know, mixed up sort of way with the blog. We want to affect people's lives, and we want to create a movement with the podcast. I mean, you're doing it with the blog. With the podcast of love and like inclusion and just, you know, accepting everybody for who they are and their own, you know, religion, race, creed,
whatever they want to do.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I, if I told you I read the whole book, I would be lying to you. But I did go through and I read some of each chapter a little bit, thumbed through and stuff. And I love how you've woven in how God has been a very, very important part of your journey. But it's also been a part of your own strength and self-awareness and self-work that has been in conjunction to kind of bring you to this place of strength and kind of a more self-awareness, aware person, right? Wouldn't you say that? I mean, that's kind of what I got. It wasn't all preachy, like, this is just all God stuff.
No,
this is
this?
About...
How about we start back here, and then you tell us a little bit about what the book is about.
Okay, you can do that. I liked what I said.
Jumping in, but nobody knows what the book's about.
Well, I just was saying what I like.
Yeah, so I've been a caretaker for a lot of years. The book is actually dedicated. I was going to say a whole different word, but it's dedicated to other caregivers as well. So I had been a caregiver for a lot of years to my mom. My story is not at all a sad story. She's still very much alive and doing great. But yeah, so I've been a caretaker for her for a lot of years. She's a DES daughter. The real long Google term.
What's a DES daughter?
She was basically a product from a shot given in the 60s to women to prevent them from miscarrying. And my mom was born off of that.
Oh.
And so in turn of being born off of that, she's had a lot of health issues.
Gotcha.
And so wasn't supposed to have children and the whole bout. And so for, you know, I think the story starts when I'm like 5 or 6.
Yeah,
and
you're very young.
Yeah, I'm super young and just having to like... figure out and understand, like, why is my mom like convulsing? Like, why does she sleep all the time?
Yeah,
why is she sick? And, you know, from a little kid's standpoint, you know, I didn't know there wasn't like medical terms out there. And even like epilepsy wasn't even a name that really was in the medical field at that time. It was just always like, oh yeah, she's convulsing again.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so it's crazy even to watch the medical world, how we've evolved even just from that, you know,
yeah,
the early 90s to now. But yeah, so I've been a caretaker for a lot of years, so I write about those struggles that typical caretakers go through and just how I've overcome some of those struggles, and then now basically how we're on the other side. Because like I said, she's not gone.
Right.
I didn't start doing me or being me when she died, which a lot of caretakers are like, I can't do X, Y, and Z because I'm still taking care of this person. And so that's why I wanted to put my story out there and just, you know, so that other caretakers can relate. Like, you don't have to put your life on hold because you're a caretaker.
Right.
You can still go chase your dreams, go do the things you want to do while, like, loving the people that you need to love well.
Yeah. Do you still take care of your mom?
Yeah, yeah, but she's... knock on wood, but yeah, she's doing really, really well. Like, this is about the best that she's ever been. She had to do some pretty extensive therapy within the last few years to get to this point where she's at.
Good.
She also got an ostomy. It's like a permanent... She had colon cancer, so it is like a permanent bag that, you know, she will have forever on her body. But that thing has changed her life.
Really?
It's changed her whole quality of life.
Wow.
Yeah, like she has... She's
been better.
Yep. She's been able to, you know, it's very discreet.
Yeah.
But
she can live more.
She's been able to be strong for just for herself. She runs the ostomy support group out of Brighton, Colorado,
out
of Platte Valley Hospital. And if you were to, you know, my mom was not a groupie person. So for her to be at that level where she's now, you know, encouraging and running her own group says a lot.
It says she's feeling better. That's amazing.
And being grandma, she's still wanting to take on my daughter full time.
And now, does she doesn't live with you?
Nope. So right now, this has gone a lot of back and forth, but no, right now we don't.
That's okay.
We're two separate, which is good.
It is good.
That's good. Especially when they're doing well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like when they're doing well and they're strong, it is like you do need to go live your life right now while you can and enjoy what you got while you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. I didn't expect for... Like I said, the healing process in it all.
And
not just for
book.
Me, but even for my family, you know, just like my mom herself and, you know, being able to like read my story without an interruption, right? Like they had to read it.
Yeah.
And I had to allow people to read it, but they had to read it and then kind of just accept what I said. And it's not a bash book by any means.
No, no.
But it's just something that, you know, this is my story and in how I saw it.
Yeah, and how I felt through it.
Yeah.
Were you nervous when you knew they were reading it? Like, you're like, okay, here it is, Mom, go read it. You know, for the very first time, or a manuscript or however it was that she got to read it the first time.
I wasn't nervous for my family. I was actually nervous for perfect strangers.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, right now we're doing a Beyond the Book series because I had a ton of people ask me, like, well, what is this chapter? Like, get into more of this chapter.
Oh, break it down.
More on, like, a one-on-one. Oh. And I'm like, I could totally make a series out of this. And so that's what we're doing on Monday nights right now.
On Facebook.
Yeah. So it's on Facebook. I'm actively trying to figure out social media and like do Instagram, but you have to have like two cameras going at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still working that out, but Instagram will catch up if you're on Instagram. But yeah, so right now it's on Facebook, and then my husband has put together a YouTube channel that once it's all there, we'll just
slide it all over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so we're doing a Beyond the Book series, and I'm catching myself like every week having to dig in like
a little further,
more and more, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, that's the nerve-wracking part, which is so weird because it's like, what am I so worried about? Like, it's already out there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you have to decide, what did I really mean? You know, what am I really trying to say here?
Right.
Because that's kind of what you're doing, right? You're breaking it down to the meat of what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I feel like in
that
healing.
Would be scary.
Sorry, these headphones are hot.
Oh,
are they?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Sometimes I feel like when you're healing through something, you know, your perspective does change a little bit when you go back on it again. You know, and you can look at
it.
Yeah, and you can see it a little bit differently. You can see it sometimes a whole lot differently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can be like, wow, I don't even know why I felt that way. But because at the moment you had the feeling or you had the scar or the pain or whatever.
Right.
And then it's gone now. And so then it's like, wow, it looks completely different. It used to look blue and now it looks silver. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's just
yeah.
like it's crazy, I think, how us making ourselves vulnerable,
right,
yeah, actually heals you and helps you along.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does. It, because once you start exposing and examining your own hurts, then you can be stronger for other people. And that's kind of what I got from your book, is that this book was about your journey of becoming strong by being strong for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And through your...
Before, I wouldn't have called it strong.
Yeah.
And it's still, for a really long time, probably even still writing it. I mean, strong wasn't necessarily coming out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't necessarily thinking, oh yeah, this book is all about like strength. That's not... That was like that was publishers and editors like to help me in that process, yeah, of like, no, this is like what
this
it is.
This is what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what you're exuding. Helping you see your own strength,
yeah,
through your words, like, oh wow, I didn't really realize.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's
and
neat.
I think too, when you're a lifelong caretaker, you don't, it's a maintenance. It's not strength. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're just maintaining every day. Mm-hmm. You're maintaining everybody every day. You're trying not to drown and trying to find some hope of something that's going to lift you up and keep you going so
right,
you can continue to maintain for everybody else. But it is strength.
Big time. Do you think the book has affected your relationship with your mom? Has it changed it at all? Better or worse or weird or nice or anything?
I think
do you know where I'm coming from? Because
yeah,
she's got another window into right, your mind that she never had before.
Right.
And it's all, she can just sit down and read it whenever she wants.
Right. And you know I think mean? Now she's okay now, but I think in the beginning it was like guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's yeah, what I mean.
Because she also raises my niece right now, and my niece is 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was able to, you know, my book came out within the last 7 months, and she was able to see, man, like, I was that kind of mom to you. Like,
maybe
she's
I
able
don't.
To see it in a different light,
yeah,
but she doesn't
yeah,
want now to, like, have
change
to parent
it
for my niece.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yep. Well, yeah, she
that's
can.
The best part.
Yeah.
That's the best part is, like, take accountability. Don't have guilt. Don't have
right,
fault. Just take accountability for it. Change it from this point going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, like, both my parents, like, they were doing the best that they knew how
absolutely,
with what they had. It wasn't
always,
that.
I tell my parents that all the time.
Yeah, it wasn't that, you know, by any means, like, I didn't have a nasty childhood or mm-mm, anything like that. It was just that there was just a ton of struggle in between all the, you know, mm-hmm, there's the good seasons, but then
right,
there's, like, the really, really bad ones. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and when you're dealing with health, it is like that, you
right,
know? And it is like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. Okay, it's a good time. And then it's like, oh,
right,
here we go. Then we can
it's
all
always looming,
get through it. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I've said for years, just watching my mom go through the whole mental health crisis with her,
mm-hmm,
I've said for years that something's needed to be done about what kind of now what we're experiencing, like with the teenagers. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that, I don't know the answer, but is that like us being better mentors, like
right,
us being like my generation being better mentors to like the younger generations,
right,
or but I've said for years that like there is this issue of mental health that like people weren't recognizing, and that was just me being an advocate for my mom and trying to like find loopholes of getting her into therapy programs,
yeah,
like
yeah, crazy
when
right,
when you're out like 6 to 9 months and these people are like on the verge of
yeah whatever,
you know, whatever
yeah,
it is, destruction basically, you know. They're a 6 to 9 month wait is not ideal for that person's family, and then they're just releasing them to be like, okay, well, they're your problem until you can get in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yep.
Yep. Good
and
luck.
So I
we'll
think a lot of people can relate to that within that part of, you know, my story is that if you're ever in that situation, you know, like you've been told, like there's that wait period.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Yeah.
It's a drag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My niece is currently in that kind of situation with mm-hmm, some mental health issues. And it's so, it is very alarming.
Yeah.
That it's given such little thought.
Yeah.
Like it's really not that important when it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's all you have, man. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
If you lose all your marbles, you're in big trouble.
Right.
So,
well, it's been dealt with nonchalantly up until this point.
And yeah.
And people are like saying, hey, I'm putting my foot down. This is not just, oh, he's kooky.
Right.
I have a problem or these people have problems. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is that you can't fix hysteria the way you used to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't
yeah,
just
yeah,
call everything hysteria and say you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, and so now they're taking a really practical and detailed look at the degrees of mental illness.
Right.
And what it looks like. It's different for every. It's going to look different for every single person. Yep. And you can't just blow someone off and throw Prozac at them like you used to be able to.
Well, and that's what got my mom in the situation. In one of the chapters, we talk about her prescription overdose.
I read that chapter.
Mm-hmm. And
you had to leave church.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that there again, that's something of like a medicine change that, you know, she was on a different med for two times a day and then went to a med that was one time a day. And not necessarily, we weren't at the point at that time, like me controlling her meds at that point. And so she got confused. And it was more like, you know, that kills people.
Right. Yeah. Unintentional.
Yeah. Yeah. And had she not, you know, the only way that saved her life in that instance was that she called the pharmacy because she knew she felt
something was wrong.
Something. And then the pharmacy is the one who
unintentional
called
poisoning. Called
you. Mm-hmm. Well, the pharmacy's freaking out. It's like, I gave her those.
Yeah.
Get over there.
Yeah. But same you read it now, even in the news. I mean, Toby Mac, he's a big Christian artist, but he lost his son in October from, you know, a prescription overdose. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that's definitely getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, we're not at the point where it's being taken care of.
Right.
No.
Right.
By
no.
any means.
Yeah. Well, if you just look at the mental illness in the homeless.
Yeah.
That right there shows how poorly the system's been handled.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the worst place for them to be.
Right.
You know, out on the streets, no medication, no guidance, no anything.
Yeah.
Just self-medicating yourself with whatever you think might help you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's so scary. It's so scary. It's very good of you that you just kind of were that natural caretaker your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and there's another chapter in there. I'm not sure which chapter specifically, but you know, being a caretaker for a lot of years too, I was the rescuer in a sense, like I played that form of the rescuer, and that meant that I rescued even financially. And so I talk about that, you know, being a caretaker, it's not just like the whole mental game, the setting up appointments, that it's the finances too. And so that was something that, you know, just recently, this is all very recent with us within the last 2 years, that where is that fine line?
Right.
How do you balance that?
How do you balance it?
How do I set healthy boundaries? But like, you know, if it wasn't for me pitching in, my mom very well could have been a homeless.
Absolutely.
You know? So there is I do touch on that in my book about like the whole financial aspect of that, because it did. But I was doing it because she's my mom.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like, there was no, she would have done it for me.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
that's exactly all
those,
what you do.
All those things.
And look at where you are now, though. I mean, you have fought so hard, and now she's actually living a good life.
Yeah,
she's living her best life.
Yep.
And then you're blossoming in your own right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, wow.
That's a tribute to your, you know, tenacity to stay and be that healthcare giver, that health, I don't know how exactly I just say it, her support. Hate to say healthcare, you know.
No, I call it an advocate.
Yeah, you're just been her support when she needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognized it. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And other people need to know that they're not alone in those struggles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And when you are in a spin out, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay to not be okay.
Yep. It's okay
totally.
To not be okay.
Yeah.
And then you own that too. I'm not okay. I need some help. I need some time. I need something right now, you know?
Yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff in that book. And like I said, we're doing the Behind the Book series right now on every Monday. And so it's
So is that on your personal Facebook page?
And there's a group. So if they, on Facebook, there's This Is Me Doing Life book page.
Okay.
So even if you just in the search bar typed in my book title, you would find the actual group page.
Okay.
Book group page. But yeah, so it's posted on there, and then I posted to the Beautifully Brave Bible study site too.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice. People could check that out too.
Yeah, it's
like
a big community in there.
Yeah. That's always
Beautifully
nice.
Brave.
Beautifully
nice
Brave. Yes. We do a lot of different Bible studies throughout the year with each other. And so
do you do those online?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. It is always nice though to have a group like that.
Yeah. They encourage one another, they pray for each other. It's a good group. And kind of back to what Sean said, like, it's not all about, like, I know I revert to God a lot, but it's not all about, I'm not a very big pushy like Bible God faith person. Like if you met me and face-to-face, like, that's not something that would automatically come out of my mouth. Like, are you going to church? Like, I don't ask you all those questions.
You're not a Bible thumper?
Like, that doesn't, you know, you can be whatever you need to be, you know. But it's just that that was something early on in my journey that I recognized is what pulled me through. And so that's why, because we're talking about the book, I'm reverting a lot to.
It's like your rock. Absolutely. He's your rock, you know. When you're freaking out, like that, that's who I go to. You know, I'm a caretaker to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where I get my strength from. Like, okay, we can do this.
You know? For sure.
Well, I read in the chapter about filling your own cup. And I was talking to Shane about it, and how you have to take time, whether it was, you know, the Bible studies and reading the books that you enjoyed or listening to the music that you like, refilling your own self.
Yeah.
And Shane is really good at that. And I am not.
Right.
You know what I mean? I need her sometimes, a lot of the times, to pour into my cup a little bit and build me up, like, you know, it's going to be all right. You're pretty and people like you, God dang it. You know, the stuff that you pet me.
Love
and squeeze me. You know what I mean? So that's a skill. You know what I mean? It is a skill to be able to stop your head from spinning out and going to dark places.
But it's something that, like, through my practice, I've done it my entire life, the entire time I've been with Sean, you know, filling myself back up again. Because people, when you are a natural giver, people come to you and they take from you. That's just how it goes. So, like, I've always practiced my own way of filling myself back up, which my children got to see and participate in.
Exactly.
And now they do it themselves.
Yeah.
They know now, being practicing adults, that they, okay, like when my daughter was out here, it was like, okay, let's regroup. Let's talk about here really what you're doing. How are you feeding yourself?
Right.
How are you taking? And then it's like, oh, right. Oh my God, I forgot. I haven't been doing that the whole time. And it's like, start there.
How are you building your own self up? Yeah.
Well, and I think just guys in general, because my publisher did, you know, when you're writing a book and doing that whole process, they ask, like, well, who's your targeted audience? And you know, my cover's like pretty, and you know, it probably relates. I get a lot of teenagers that are like, is it like teen appropriate? And it's like,
go for it. It actually really is, and probably would suit them very well.
I do think that there, you know, because I know that there's a whole male group of caregivers as well, that, you know, just drain themselves too. And like Sean made a good point, husbands, I mean, for how long did my husband, you know, stay by my side and basically kept his mouth shut, you know, even though he knew, like, I was on the verge of, like,
you're on the
heartbreak
edge.
You know, it was a bad day, I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, he just stayed there and stayed quiet. And but he wasn't necessarily, like, we weren't filling each other up either at that time.
Right.
And so that wasn't necessarily a healthy way for our relationship. And, you know, if we kept continuing down that path, that wouldn't have been good for us either.
No.
So, you know, it was good that I recognized that needed to change. And that was why I've talked about that, like, in previous blog posts and in my book.
It's also because you're the caregiver. And even we know. We just, your scale is off. And then it's like, okay, I know. Right. I'm coming back. You know, I have this one over here is overflowing. Just let me get this under control. Mm-hmm. And then when that's under control, you come back and you're like, okay, I'm sorry. We got to fix this.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to be able to have that open dialogue.
Absolutely. And to have your partner be like, okay, I'm going to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be patient. Because, you know, if you don't come back, then they're like, I'm out, see ya.
Yeah.
You know?
The book cover, he wanted it to be a scale.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, please have her do the scale. And I'm like, I get a say, but I don't get a say.
Yeah.
Like, you do, but you go back and forth a lot with the editing team and different design team for your cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were like, well, you know, a lot of people judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely.
You're not supposed to, but,
but
a lot of people do.
And they know what their job is, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and so they're like, well, this could come off like scientific, or, you know.
I would have thought a law book.
I would have thought a law book.
But yours is inviting. It is.
It is. It's beautiful.
It's pretty. And I like, so I've been, while you were talking, I've been all to everywhere. I've been to your Facebook page. I've been to your Facebook page. I've been to the official page of the book. I've been to your blog, and I've been to Amazon. And the consistency, it's nice, beautiful branding. Your book cover is on everything.
Yeah.
And it reads really well, and it's very inviting, and I like it.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting.
It's very exciting for you. And then to know that you are a writer.
Yeah.
And that's always been like your secret love.
Yeah.
And now here it comes, see? It's not going to leave you.
That's it's not. It's here. And I'm just getting better at embracing it.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. And then it's like, all right, whatever.
Because it's you. It's who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The best part about it is who you are. So then you don't ever really have to worry too much.
No.
You know, because it's like, it's the same thing I say all the time, over and over again, you know?
And all of us have some sort of thing in our world, you know what I mean, in our life. And maybe if we all sat down and write a book and write down exactly, you know, write down it all, put it down on paper. Well, really, like you'd said earlier, you said something that I hadn't thought about. It's like once you sit down and put it all on paper, then you have no interruptions.
Yeah.
You've got this complete memoir of your life experiences from your perspective.
Yeah.
And then maybe at that point you can go, wow, I was really giving this way too much power. Mm-hmm. Now that I read about it, I put it on, you know, and if I'm not feeling it as much in my head.
Right, right.
I'm reading it off this paper. It's like, oh boy, I probably was a little sensitive there. You know what I mean? Or I could have probably been a little nicer there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have moments of retrospective, ability
reflection.
There, you know?
Yeah, and there's a big, the book is very vulnerable. There's a chapter, I don't know if you read the chapter where, I think it's in She's Strong for Others, but I get to the point of, for a lot of years, I kept myself in chains for different things that I've done, like different experiences in my life.
Yeah, I read that chapter.
One being boys, one being just various things. But boys was a really big one for me. I clung to toxic relationships a lot when I was a teenager, because that to me felt safe for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It was like an outlet of like, it
sometimes
got me away from like what was happening at home.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, this family's fun. Like, they're doing this.
Yep.
And so anyway, I clung to, and that's all I was working around was men at the time. Mm. So it was one of those things that like I kept chains on me for so long about that, and like just holding so much guilt with it. And it's like, I don't need to hold any guilt with that. Like, God already loves me for me. He knows what I did. I don't need to.
I always like
keep
tell
like, holding myself back.
He was there when you were doing it. He was watching you the whole time, just sitting there watching. Yeah. Really, Victoria? Yeah. Really?
Well, yeah. This
is what you're gonna do.
Yeah. And so I guess that's the part where I say like it's healing. Like when you can write things out like that.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth. I'm like, do I? You know? And it's a perfect.
Do I put it? Do I not put it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was sure that chapter was gonna get shut down. I'm like, there's no way that this crazy stranger is gonna let me like post all this like vulnerability. There's just no way. And you know, she didn't. And but again, it's like, all right, do you necessarily have to post, or do I
say
have
it?
To write that? Do I have to say anything? You know, do I have to go there about the whole boy thing, or like my divorce or my bankruptcy?
Right.
Or do I have to do all that? Like, is that necessary? And then it's like, yes, it is.
It is.
Like,
it's part of the journey.
Right. It's all part of the pieces.
Journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can relate to that. And
absolutely.
Just to know you're not alone.
Like, nope.
In the Bible, there's been sinners even long before you or I ever came around.
Yeah.
And there's going to be sinners long after we're gone. So,
and it gives proof that you can change. No matter where you are in your life, you can always regroup and change it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to suck and hurt, and change is painful usually.
Sometimes.
But it's usually also very beautiful.
Yeah. It is.
Once
you
get through it, it's like, oh my God, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look
and
at
then
that.
The reward.
Mm-hmm.
The reward for difficult change is beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that, you know, in my life, I've done some changing and I've done some hard changing. I've done that very recently and left something was my dream.
He left something that was very toxic.
Right. And it was super
toxic.
But
at the same time, is your dream.
It's my dream.
You know what I mean? And so then it's
so
like you have to weigh. What am I trying to get out of this, really?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you do get your dream, but you kill yourself in the process,
it
kept robbing me from my joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
I was noticing.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, I was the things had happened, you know, 15, 16 years ago, but yet here I am with this when my son was first born, which he's going to be 7 here coming up. But, you know, I can't enjoy like this little baby because of things that like here I was still holding chains for things that had happened years before. It's like I couldn't enjoy that moment or like being a mom because of all of it.
Right.
So it was the really guilt. Like, yeah. So it was really just like, how do I process that? How do I get through it? Who do I talk to about it? And it was a lot of like mentorship.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of talking with my husband about things, like having to open up, like just not me holding it in anymore.
Yeah.
It was
well, real vulnerable dialogue with your husband.
Almost as the caretaker, you have like this caretaker secret box.
Yeah.
And you just keep everything in there, you know, until you can't close the lid.
Yeah.
And then some of it spews out. And when your husband is nice enough to be the one to catch it and be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw you there. I saw you tucking all those things in that box. You right. know, and now, yeah. okay, let's have it.
Yeah.
And then you're a mess, and then you're better.
I think that's why we work, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we totally just accept each other for...
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, too, when you are busy taking care of other people, the things for yourself always fall through the cracks. So then, finally, when you have your own personal meltdown about yourself...
Right.
That's when it's like, oh, and you have that other person there that's been watching you the whole time and has been like, okay, you know, and then they just pick you up and dust you off and kiss you on the forehead and say, I love you.
Yeah.
No, and you keep moving because, oh my God, I think I did that to Sean just the other night. I was like, because we're doing so many crazy things and you never know when it pops up, especially when you're busy all the time.
When you're busy.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I just hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
You know, and then you put an ice pack on your eyes and go about it the next day.
And it happens for everyone, men and women. Men, we're synonymous for holding all of our feelings inside and being hard and not wanting to be vulnerable or have relationships with people. And then that causes us to become jaded and it hurts us inside in the long run.
Right.
And then you hold all that pain in long enough, you become this bubbling brook of weeping tears and emotion because it's hard not to cover up the emotions you haven't dealt with.
Right.
Or alcohol.
Or alcohol. Yeah.
We've watched
alcohol comes out.
Oh, it always comes out in alcohol. Always.
And a good cry is good for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to just be like, okay, I hate to make it about me, but when I left that job, it took me about a week or two and I couldn't hold it anymore. I mean, I was so angry and I was so upset and I was so sad that I had to walk away from my dream because of someone else's behavior.
Poison.
And poison.
Because
and
someone else's
and
poison.
And it just came falling out of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wept like a baby. You know what I mean? But that's okay. I needed that to then be like, okay, all right. Yes,
well, it's the
that's
release.
What it was.
It is the awakening.
It
like
is,
we
it
talked
is.
About the awakening before, and it is you're having the awakening. That's something you chose to believe for so long. Now you see that it was a lie, you know?
Yeah,
and
like
now
a limiting belief.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now you have to choose to see it the way it is and believe it for what it is. And that can be devastating.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It's pretty exciting. So you have another book coming out?
Yes. Well, it's in the works.
Is it going to continue off of this book?
I don't know yet.
Or is it going to be a different book?
Is the next one going to be My Life as Your Father?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what like I said, I have an idea when I'm actually writing of like what things are going to be called and how it's going to be laid out. And then it's insane. Like the editing, there's a lot of back and forthness.
Yeah.
And my publisher really works a lot with like, well, what's your word saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's see what the, you know, what are,
but
what's
you get
the message?
Another one under your belt like that and you're going to know and you're going to just be able to write so much easier and freer. You know what I mean? Like right now you're practicing.
Yeah.
And so it's like the next one will be better. And then the next one you'll be like, all right, I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to send you all these chapters at once. You know what I mean? Because I know who my audience is. I know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You know, I know what I want to come out of this.
Yeah, I think like I told her already, I'm like, I want my cover. Because to me, this feels like an adolescent like book, right? Like my life of maybe like adolescentness.
Okay.
And I want like my next one to be like, womanhood.
Oh, yeah. You're grown up.
Yeah. But that kind of would fit, though, because
yeah, I really do. I want it to, you know, like, get out of, like, who that person was. Because that's not...
This isn't you.
This isn't me anymore.
Right.
Like, that was my healing book.
Right.
Now, like, this is, like...
Now who are you?
Who I've become.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Now, the next one is me living life.
There you go.
Instead of me doing
it. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're at a point where you're doing it to learn how to live it.
Right.
Now you're living it.
Yeah,
there you go.
I just gave you the title of your book. You can put my face on the cover.
Dedicated to Sean Swallow.
Don't do that. Don't put his face on the cover.
You want something pretty?
There you go. See? And you said you couldn't write a book.
I really could. Yeah, I'm going to write a book someday.
He really could. He could do it.
I've got the stories.
We've already talked about it.
I because have the when title. His mom they won't take it away from me.
When his mom came, we had a conversation pretty similar to this, and it was like, what? And that's what I said. You need to write it down.
Yeah.
And he was like, well. And then he was like, well, maybe if I did write it down, it's like, yeah, it's a form of release.
Yeah,
it is. It's healing.
Yeah,
I at least write healing. It in a song.
Well, he used to do that.
I used
all
to
the
write
time.
Songs all the time, but I don't now.
Yeah. Well, that
I forgot how to write with a pen.
But that's very much your therapy.
Yeah.
Is songwriting and music. And when you were in your last job career, they were sucking that out. Sucking the joy out of that.
Sucked
which
that
is also
joy.
Another reason why it's like, okay, this is becoming
and not in
an unhealthy
a good way.
Situation.
Mm. Yeah, it was unhealthy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta leave toxic situations, even if it may disrupt your quality of life or your routine.
Said every abused woman on the planet.
He only hits me when he's drunk. You be quiet.
That's funny.
I'm
but
not
it's
making
true.
Light of physical.
No. And or any of it. I mean, not making light of any of it. But
I just wanted everybody to know.
Yeah, like the wheels are going to come off.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. We've been going for, what, 46
it
minutes now.
It usually starts now.
We haven't even cussed.
Better be careful.
I gotta get
now.
Out of here. We gotta end this podcast.
We gotta get out of here before Sean
cusses.
So funny. Uh-huh. Well, I would just say again.
You've sparked a lot of conversation. I just want you to know our conversation has also started some conversation in the chat room. You know, Glenn is talking about how he has a hard time making connections and relationships because he doesn't like to, you know, be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But he does have a girlfriend now that's kind of helping him bring those things out, which makes him cry a little bit. And he doesn't like to cry. And then that makes him cry.
Right.
You know, which I understand because that's what us dudes do. I can't believe I'm crying right now. I am so upset. So good for him. I mean, and it's good, you know, even if it's just, you know, I'm not trying to make light of what he's saying. I'm just trying to recap a little bit. But if there's someone in your life that causes you to have these introspective thoughts and cause emotion to come out of you, well, then maybe it's something to take a look at.
Yeah.
Maybe especially there is something
negative.
There, you know.
Especially if it's negative reaction you're
exactly.
causing yourself, you know. They're causing you a negative reaction.
I think that started with something about a relationship with his mom. Or something like that, which I can totally relate to because I, you know, that, oh yeah, so relationship with my mom a few years ago. So, you know what I mean? It all stems from our entire life of emotions and relationships and interactions. And so if
that's
you just.
That's what the book is about.
If you just stuff
it's
your.
It's just different traumas.
It's just different traumas.
Whatever it
different
is to
levels
each person.
Of trauma.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Not examining it and not facing it is unhealthy for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can, oh, got to close curtains. And you can't have a healthy relationship with anyone or yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think your book is great. It's
going to reach a lot of people.
It will because it is a window into someone's journey that could be exactly like the journey that I'm going through and an understanding of the struggles.
Right.
Which makes you feel like a part of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't try to play it off big or anything. I'm just a mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have a day job. And so it's something that, you know, basically came out as my hobby, like my spare time. And then now it's just taken off and people are asking me to speak more and more about it. And it's like, all right, like, here we go. Like, this is what you meant, you know, when you told me, like, write it all. Like,
yep.
Because I had it written down how I wanted it written down, but, you know, God said there's a bigger message there. And so I just leaned into it and followed exactly what needed to be said, and here we are.
Yeah. It's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what happens when you listen.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, we Dita Joe and Class of Little Cupcake are here. They really appreciate you being a part. So does everyone, Glenn as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, Glenn says he's in a toxic situation himself. You gotta cut the cord. It's hard to make the decisions.
Scary.
And if you wait until your life is in the perfect place to get out of a toxic position or situation, you'll never leave.
No, you'll be there forever.
You never leave. Sometimes
tell Glenn, there's a book about boundaries. I'm trying to hit the book title for him, but it's really good.
Boundaries are definitely the thing when you're in a toxic situation that are the most difficult for me, because I have very fluid boundaries. You know what I mean? I will let people walk all over me.
Yeah, it's boundaries.
Well, that was something that you picked up later in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's getting older.
No, that was
Gary
something.
Thomas, When to Walk Away.
When to Walk Away.
Yeah, it's a book on boundaries, and he has some really good ideas about how to set healthy boundaries. And there's sometimes, you know, I don't want to go off on another tangent because I know we've already been on here for like 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said, like when you are in a toxic relationship, but maybe it's family, or like maybe it's something that you really just can't walk away from, mm-hmm. but that it's something that you can at least get away from. Mm-hmm. Not walk away from it, but get away from it for a period of time.
Yeah.
And set some boundaries in there.
And set some boundaries mm-hmm. for that. So maybe that would help.
Yeah. And I think you feel the way you do, Sean, because I think that when you find yourself as being a person who is being abused for a long time, then you see it as, oh, I don't have any boundaries. Oh, I just let people walk all over me. Oh, I just, because you were putting yourself in that situation willingly for so long. And that's part of like the guilt and everything too. It's like, no, I'm not that person. I don't do that. And that's not how I was supposed to be treated, mm-hmm. you know? But it's what happens when you're an abused person. That's why people fall in love with their abusers, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they become brainwashed and they become tricked that that's what it should be when it's not. When you know it's not. It's in your gut. It's in your breathing. It's in your heart. It's in your brain. And you know that it's all wrong. Those are all the signs that you need to get out of it.
Right. Right. Wow. Okay. So.
Tell us again. What is your blog? You got it over there?
I've got it all.
This is me doing life. So is it WordPress.com?
Yeah.
No, it is not.
It isn't?
Nope. And I looked for you. Your blog is thisismedoinglife.blog.
Dot blog. That's good to know.
Yep, dot blog. Went right to it. Thisismedoinglife.blog.
And they can follow you on there.
Yep.
Interact also, with you on there.
I will put the link to Amazon.
Yes.
In this description of the podcast so people can purchase your book.
Yep.
And then I'm going to link your Facebook group and your Facebook page, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Then people could reach out to you if they wanted to talk to you. And then I will also put the name of that book, When to Walk Away, in the description if Glenn would like to read that, or anyone else. If you're in a place where you feel like you can't get out of it, maybe a good book can help you, give you the tools, maybe even the language to find the strength to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Right. This has been great. Victoria, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you for
having me.
I just want to encourage people to. It's good to read self-help books. It's good to read.
Yeah, self-help is not for broken people.
No, and it's good to read books like this about other people's journeys, because you can relate and see a correlation maybe to your own adventure out.
I'll be honest. I believe no one can understand when you're going through a hard trouble that other people know what you're going through. You know, you're in this situation that's so horrible and you're like, God, this is the worst. No one in the world could understand what this is like. But yet,
there's someone
thousands of people out there have actually gone through it. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Because you're not talking about it. They're not talking about it. And so, you know, books like yours.
Talking about it.
Help.
Yeah, I agree.
Woo!
I love it.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you came out and came on.
Yeah,
and this will be an audio book pretty soon.
Yes.
It will be.
Yes, it will.
Very soon.
Right out of the Spotted Carpet Studios.
That's right.
Hey, it's a studio.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for coming and being vulnerable and being here with us.
Yes,
thank you to all our listeners for coming and being vulnerable with us.
Amen to
thank
that.
Thank you. Thanks for your stories.
Everyone who is here with us tonight, we really appreciate it. I just want to say make sure and check out Victoria's book, go read her blog, buy her book, follow her groups on Facebook.
Yes.
Social media, you can find it, Instagram and all that stuff.
That's right. Support your local artists.
That's right. And
writing is an art.
Support this podcast. Yes. This is the important kind of stuff that we're trying to do. We want to help everyone in the world by bringing in people who also want to help everyone in the world. That's in right. Every way that we can.
Yeah.
So find the perfect thing that's for you to get the help that you need.
Absolutely. To live your best life.
Live your best life, baby.
Live your best life.
That's good, man. That's like a commercial idea.
What?
Like a PSA.
It is.
And you know what? I learned this from some friends. Wash your hands and use your darn blinkers.
But remember to turn that blinker off.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Turn that blinker off, too. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. I hope you like what you just heard, because you've just been swallowed.
Make sure and listen to us on Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, even YouTube and CastBox, or wherever you love to listen to your podcasts.
Give us a like, give us a love, give us 5 stars. Remember to share us with your friends, because it makes a difference.
Remember, follow the swallows.